So we were moving. We actually were moving, and we were so full of faith, we were believing we'd find an apartment that was fully furnished. Didn't even know if they had such a thing back in the day. So we went out there. We actually did find an apartment that was fully furnished. We lived there for 3 years. By the way, who remembers Herculon fabric? You could put a knife through it, and it didn't cut. It was amazing. Only thing, it was gross. It was a plaid fluorescent orange and brown and black. That was our furnished apartment, the sofas that we had. So, but anyway, it was furnished, so not complaining. But we went out there, and we knew how much money we had, and we weren't quite sure how long it would last. Matter of fact, I was pretty sure it wasn't going to last long. So we're going out there, and Jackson's school, and I'm believing, yeah, full of faith, because I really didn't know much about it. But I'm believing I'm going to find a job. Jack would get a part-time job. I'd get a full-time job. And the days are ticking. The days are ticking. The days are ticking. And I'm watching this checkbook. And let me tell you, I can make a dollar stretch. I can eat oatmeal for 2 months straight. Don't bother me. I can make rice and beans and pasta, and I can make chicken go this far. But I'm watching the days are ticking, the days are ticking, and my checkbook's going down, my checkbook's going down. And I start having one of these. I start grumbling, God, what is the matter with these Christians? They're supposed to support us because we're going to go into the ministry. Okay, and then I'm like, you know, what's the better yet? God, what is going on with you? I thought you told us to go out here. I thought you did that. Okay, so I started complaining. I really did. I had a big grumbling, complaining. This went on for about a month and a half, and we are down to about zero. And my grumbling is getting a constant. Every day, wherever I can, all right? Finally, I get a job. Jack has a part-time job, and money came in. Actually, we just were blessed, okay? But I have to be honest with you. I was absolutely miserable, miserable for that month and a half, 2 months, where we thought, you know, we had X amount of dollars, all right? And I actually made some major mistakes, and I want to share with you. So you don't make these mistakes in life. That's what we're going to go talk about today. And so what I want to talk about is what happens when you feel like or it looks like God isn't showing up. Anybody have some of those days where you All right. And so what happens when you're in tough times and how do we respond? That's what we're going to talk about today. Now, I will tell you 100% I didn't do it the right way. Yep, I absolutely didn't do it the right way. Actually, what happens is I tied God's hands for getting involved, all right? And I actually opened up the door to the enemy to start dumping these thoughts in my head and actually tormenting me and making me such a delightful person to live with, all right? I did that. And the other thing that happened is it didn't allow me to grow. It didn't allow me to grow. So we're going to talk about that stuff today. Now, we've been talking also about spiritual exercises that we apply in our life. So today I have a spiritual exercise so you can not do what I did, okay? So we're going to talk about later about that, all right? If you're a guest here or you haven't been able to be with us for the last couple weeks, we've been doing a series wrapping it around the Olympics because, you know, back in August we had the Olympics. And we were looking at all these incredible athletes. Most of them probably train more than half their life, right? So we're talking about these athletes and the incredible things that they do. And they do all of it just for the gold. They do all of that, these Olympic athletes, just for the gold. So I thought, you know what? We are in a more important race in life. Sherry's taking pictures. I'm like, she was, all right. We're in a more important race in life where we get rewards. Actually, we are going to be given eternal rewards that last forever. So I thought, you know what? Maybe we should have a little more intensity than these Olympic athletes because of the race that we're called into. So everybody open up to 1 Corinthians 9:24. That's like the text that we've been starting with for the whole series. By the way, today's the last day of the series. Okay. Yay! Now you go, oh no, this has been so much fun. All right, y'all at 1 Corinthians, please. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, here we go. How about we say this, okay? In a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets first prize. So run your race to win. The scripture is saying, everyone here who is a believer, you are in a race. Raise your hand if you're in a race. You are in a race. Yep, you're in a race. And how do we run a race? Well, we talked about loving God and living for God. All right, and I'll go over a little bit about that. But listen, you're all in a race. You got thrown into the race. You got entered into the race the day you received the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so there's parts of this race that everybody's going to do. Everybody's going to do this race. But I might be in a little bit different race because of what God's called me to do. And God's called you to do some things totally different than me. Thank goodness. All right? Two of me is more than enough, right? All right? And God's called you to do some things that I could never, all right, do because he's called you to some specific things. But generally, in the big thing of life, the day you received Jesus Christ, accepted him into your life, you are in a race. Okay, you're in a race. And we said, how do we run our race? Just the general for everybody. The general thing for everybody. One, we love the Lord Jesus. And Jesus even said, you're to love the Lord God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, with whole mind. That means my emotions. Okay, with all my strength. I am to love him. Okay, how does that look? You're first. Jesus, you're first. Jesus, you're first. I go to you first. I go to you in the middle and in the end. Jesus, you're first, okay? So that's something that we all do. Now, once you do that, once you are doing that, okay, you're accepted Jesus into your life and you're endeavoring to love him with all your heart and stuff, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to start living for him. You're going to start living for him. And for most Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, most of you will do that by volunteering in a church or a parachurch ministry. Most of you, and listen, I look across and I'm like, God, I think everybody here volunteers someplace. I love this bunch. I'm telling you, they do it. They do it. And really what you're going to do when you volunteer, you are helping God. Okay, I'm serving Pastor D. No, no, no. You are helping God in his agenda. And his agenda is that everybody connects with Jesus. That's God's whole plan, that we connect with Jesus, and he's going to use you. When you volunteer, I'm believing you will, but let's say this whole week, okay, this whole week, you may never have the opportunity to ask somebody, have you received Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, and lead them to the Lord. But the vision of this church, we do that. I do that. There's a bunch of you do that. And when you volunteer, you get the rewards, okay? We share the pile. So we are going to, how do we run our race? By loving him and living for him, all right? Loving and living for him. And where's that song? So we sang that song, Everything and Nothing Less. Oh my gosh, that was like my whole message. I'm sitting there going, God, that's my message. God, that's my message. But listen, when you're living, when you love him as first and you're living for him, this is what you're saying. God, everything about me and nothing less I give to you. I surrender to you. I live for you. Now, some days I do that better than others. How about you? Anybody have some really great days and other days going, tomorrow's a restart, okay? Praise the Lord. Let's see. The last part of that verse, it says, so run your race to win. Run your race to win. Now, throughout the Bible, and it's not just in this 1 Corinthians here, but throughout the Bible, especially New Testament, the Bible uses athletic events, and they compare our walk with Jesus. All right? So, that's why I like this. They compare them. Now, the rest of those verses, if you read down from 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 25, all the way down, they start talking about these athletes that they train. Well, we're supposed to train. It talks about these athletes that they actually give up some things. And we talked about that the first week. They give up some things so they can run their race, so they can go get a gold. And we will have to lay down some things in our life or we are not going to finish. So I want to finish. I'm telling you, I'm probably knock you out of my way. I am going to finish this race, okay? Because there's actually rewards for us in heaven. When we talked about that, when your race ends, when you die, you will stand before the Lord Jesus, and he's going to look at your life and how you ran your race, okay? How you ran your race, and then you can have some rewards that are eternal, and I'm not going to go to that. Go get the CDs. I think they were great. I had a good time. All righty. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 9. Then you have 1 Corinthians 10. Now, the people that wrote the Bible, they just put chapter 9, chapter 10, so I don't get lost, okay? But really, it's a continual thought. Chapter 9 just continues on to chapter 10, the same thought, okay? And chapter 10 talks about the race, and it actually talks about four things or four obstacles that will stop you in your race. That'll stop you in your race. So they're written, these four things, so you won't stop your race. So how many of you think you should probably read 1 Corinthians 10 and find out what's going to throw you out of your race? So we did. We talked about, one of them was idols. Second one, we talked about sexual impurity. And it's not what you think it is. It's bigger than that. So go get the CDs or just go read it or just go dig into it. Today, we're going to talk about the last two. And we're going to pick up at verse 9 and 10. Here we go. Verse 9 and 10. We should not, we meaning believers, should not test Christ or test God as some of them did, and they were killed by snakes or serpents, whatever your translation was. And do not grumble, aka complain, as some of them did, and they were killed by the destroying angel. Now, that was written to Old Testament. We live over here in the New Testament. I thank God I don't live in the Old Testament, because how many of you have ever complained? At least once this week. The snakes would have come into your house. The destroying angels, okay? So we live over here. We live in a better covenant. But when it talks about serpents, snakes, and destroying angels, well, they're a type of our enemy. How many of you know you have an enemy? You have an enemy, okay? So that enemy, but if you get involved in these things, testing God and complaining, you actually can open the door in some places in your life, all right? And the enemy can come in, all right? And I don't really want him in, all right? So when we complain, we grumble, we test the Lord, what happens is you actually tie God's hands, okay? Tie God's hands. I want God's hands open. We were singing a song about the windows of heaven and the blessings coming out. Man, I want that. So I want arms open so I don't want to get into complaining. Praise God. So I'm going to give you an exercise at the end on how to stay out of complaining. But first, let me ask you, how many of you do not point at anybody? Okay, how many of you know some Debbie Downers? How many, don't raise your, at least you're not pointing. Okay, I was like, don't point at anybody. Okay, Debbie Downers are the people who, they always, we would say in a really nice word, they always say, the glass is half empty. All right, anybody know some of those type of people? Oh, yeah. Now you can say, yeah, amen. All right. Now, listen, some of them are just, I got this. Anyway, some of them are just naturally bent on negativity and complaining. All right. And I have to be honest, I'm pretty sure all of us at some point in time can find ourselves that way. Has anybody ever found yourself grumbling, complaining, negative? Yep. Okay. So if you're taking notes, this is the main thought I want you to get today. Clearer than you ever could see it. I want you to walk out of here understanding this main thought. Ready? Write this down. When you can't see God, God sees you. Now I'm going to tell you what that means. But write that down. When you can't see God, God can see you. And what that means is when you're going through tough times and you're just going, oh my gosh, well, I feel like I'm all alone. Where is God? Where are Christians? All right. So this is saying that, and you're going, God, why aren't you helping me? I want you to know that when you can't see God, God sees you, and he's actually working if you stay out of complaining. Okay. All right. Praise God. Amen. So I want you to understand that. I want your life to be changed forever. And I'm going to tell a story about me later on here on this here. Open up to Isaiah chapter 24. 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Open up to Isaiah chapter 43. This is a really cool scripture that kind of ties this in here for you. Praise God. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. Oh my gosh. God's saying, I'll be with you. All right? When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up, and the flames will not consume you. You know, when I got to that part about being burnt up and consumed, and God said I'd be with you, right away I thought about the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were thrown in the fire. They got out of it. Why? God was with them. All right? So let me ask you this question. How many of you have had just one failure in your life? How many of you have lost just one battle in your life? Like, you lost your house, you lost your dog, you know, you've lost a few things. How about this? How about how many of you have had things stolen out of your life? Stolen out of your life. Okay. So this scripture, here's what it's saying. It says, when bad things, troubles come in your life, when bad things and troubles happen in your life, no matter what's happening, even if you can't see God, God is going to walk you through it. God is going to get you through it. Because look, that first part, when you go through deep waters and great troubles, I'll be with you. All right? So what happens is that God will sustain you as you go through it. God will sustain you through those troubles, problems, whatever you want to call it. All right? Praise God. Now, in our spiritual exercise, which I'm not telling you quite right now, it will release God. Turn over to Exodus, and I'm going to tell you a story about Israel. And Israel is always our example. I always feel good because I go, man, they were super messed up. I am not that bad. I would have never done all the things they did. So I read these Old Testament stories, and they are examples for us today, all right? They're examples for us today. So here we have children of Israel. They have been delivered out of Egypt, you know, supernaturally, miraculously. Here we got the 10 plagues, and Pharaoh finally lets them go, and then God guides them by the pillar by the fire by night and the cloud by day. I got it right. Cloud by day. I was like, which one is it? All right. And then, so they got out of there, and they've got this thing going on, and Pharaoh changes his mind. He starts chasing after them with all his army guys, with all his chariots, and they are just full force. They're just going to go after them. And then next thing you knew, God opens up the Red Sea, and the children of Israel just go miraculously through that. Okay? And then the walls come crashing down on Pharaoh and his chariots and his whole army, and they die. Okay? The next thing you know is that God does some more miraculous things. They're out in the wilderness, and he feeds them every day. I don't have to go to the grocery store. He feeds them manna every day. Okay? Praise God. And then something else happens. They're out in the wilderness. All right? Now, let me say this again. Wouldn't you say at that point they'd had just a few miraculous things happen in their life? I mean, I haven't had some of those crazy things happen. So they've had all these miraculous things happen. They're in the wilderness, and all of a sudden they run out of water. They run out of water. Now, how do you think they handled it? Yeah, they grumbled, and we're going to read it later. They grumbled and they tested God. But wait a minute. Here's God who opens up these walls so they can get through. Here's God who does these 10 plagues and gets them out. And they're just out of water. Okay, and they start complaining and testing God. And here's what happens. They go to Moses and they say, hey, Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt just so we can die of thirst? What kind of leader are you? Sounds like a little complaining, right? Then the next thing that happens, they start complaining amongst themselves. They sit around their little campfire and they go, oh, and he thought he's called of God. I can't believe it. What kind of leader is he? Now we don't have any water. They got a whole table full. They're all complaining, okay? And then they test God. They test God, and this is what it is. God, where are you? God, I thought you said you'd be with me. You know, when you start doubting the Most High God, you're testing him. Okay, so they start testing God. They start testing God. So God, who's so loving, his love endures forever. God says to Moses, Moses, I want you, you see that rock over there? I want you to take your staff and I want you to strike it. All right, so Moses goes over to that rock over there. He takes his staff and he strikes it. And guess what happens? Some of you need to read your Old Testament. Guess what happens? Water comes gushing out, okay? Water comes gushing out, okay? Who supplied the water? God supplied the water. Okay, Exodus chapter 17. Here we go. Exodus chapter 17, verse 7. This is how it ends, okay? This is how it ends. Moses did what he said with the elders of Israel right there watching. He named the place Massa, excuse me, which means testing place, and Meribath, which means quarreling, a.k.a. grumbling and complaining, all right? Because of their quarreling / complaining of the Israelites, and because of their testing God when they said, is there God with us? Where is he? Okay, now listen, this is the lesson we're going to learn today. This is the lesson we're going to learn today. When everything dries up in your life, and everything is going bad in your life, okay? We're going to do the opposite. Everybody say opposite. We are going to do the opposite of what the Israelites do. We're not going to complain. That's what we're going to learn today, not complain. Instead of saying, God, where are you? Why aren't you showing up? God, can't you see my checkbook? We're not going to do that, all right? Now listen, that complaining actually hurt Moses. That complaining actually got into Moses. You should see a bunch of ladies sitting around a table. When one starts complaining, it just goes around the circle. I don't know about you boys, but I generally hang out with the ladies, and it's bad. Well, it must be bad with guys, because, listen, later on down the road, they run out of water again. Okay, they run out of water again. And God speaks to Moses, and God says, I want you to speak to this rock. Circle that. Okay, now what happened the first time? What did God say? I want you to strike the rock. This time he says, I want you to speak to the rock, okay? So he, right about then, Moses starts complaining. He is complaining about those people you gave me, Israelites. God, why did you give me this burden to bear? He is complaining about them, all right? Man, they are a pain in my neck and they stink. He's complaining about them. He's complaining about them. So then Moses goes to the rock and he hit the rock. Twice, thank you. He hit the rock. But what were the directions? Okay, now listen. God, who's just so wonderful and merciful, he lets water come gushing out of there. He lets the water come gushing out of the rock, all right? But he says to Moses, because you got into complaining and you didn't obey, you cannot enter the promised land. Guys, I want to win my race. I want a pile of rewards. So I am going to stay out of this. Amen? Right? All right. So we don't want to do what they did, all right? Getting back to the Olympics. Okay, I'm not lost. I know where I'm going. So we've been talking about the Olympics, and we started highlighting different athletes and different events. And this week, I'm going to highlight a girl, but I'm actually going to go back to the Olympics in Atlanta in 1996 because she did what we should do, all right? So in the Olympics in 1996, there's this girl called Carrie Strug, and she's probably just a little pip of a thing. She was. She's a little thing. And she and her team, the U.S. gymnastic team, they're doing all these events, the gymnastic team, but this particular event is the vault. Anybody know what the vault is? It's like this that you're supposed to bounce and jump over, okay? Well, we used to call it the horse, right? You know, back in the day. Okay, it's this vault. All right, now, Carrie's teammates, who are actually scheduled to do better than her on the vault, two teammates go run up, they do the vault, and instead of doing one of these, she slips and falls on her butt. So you have two tries at the vault. She runs up again. Now the coach is like, they never do that. What's going on? And the girl before her, I don't even remember the name, runs up and does that thing again over the vault, and she does a slip out and falls on her butt the second time. So the coach looks at Carrie and he says, Carrie, you're going to do the vault. You're going to do the vault now because we got one more chance and you're it. Now, Carrie's good at the vault, but the girl who just slipped on her butt twice was the best. All right, so the team's not doing the best. So the coach says, Carrie, run up and do the vault. So you have two chances. She runs up, does her full body twist after she hits and lands and falls on her butt. Well, what's with the butts today? You know, the coach is kind of going like this. And listen, he goes to her, Carrie, you can do it. Carrie, you can do it. She's got one more chance. Carrie, you can do it. Now, what you don't know is that first time over the vault, she hit wrong on her ankle, and she ended up by spraining her ankle a third degree. Now, nobody knows this because she isn't. She's not telling anybody. She gets off that first one, and she's just kind of doing the shaking it out, you know, and she is just trying to do, they are so cute when they walk, I'm telling you what. Okay, so the coach doesn't know what's happened. He simply turns to her and says, Carrie, you can do this. Carrie, you can do this. And in the interview, it was kind of fun. She said, you know, he never talks that nice to you. He's always saying, you can do better. You didn't do it high enough. You didn't do it this enough. She says, so I decided I can do this because my coach said I could do this. So she runs up. She does this incredible tourney thingy, and she lands like this. She scores like a 9.7, wins the gold. And actually, the U.S. team won the overall gold, whatever they call that. Anyway, they did awesome, okay? They did awesome. Okay. Listen, here's the thing. She did not complain. She didn't complain. She did what she had to do. She did what she had to do, all right? She said, I was just focused in the interview. She said, I was just focused on the technique that I had to do over the vault. I was just focused, all right? So she went up. She did her thing. She wins the gold. She doesn't complain, all right? Now, I think about some of the dumb things I complain about. I'm at a grocery store, and the person that's checking out the person in front of me, they're just gabbing. And I'm like, I could do better. Would you just stop talking? Can't you talk and do two things at once? You should see what happens to my car when I try doing two things at once. I mean, I've got dings and dangs all over, but, you know, I am complaining. Anybody ever complain? Okay? And I think about what I get upset over life. And then, listen, it's easy to complain, right? It is easy to complain. Okay? So let me tell you a story. This happened... it was when Cassie finished college. She moved back home, and it was just Cassie. Jesse was there, but he's working some funny shifts, and we'd hang out a lot. And we're driving one day, and I'm telling Cass this story about what happened my day, and she turns around and says, you know, Mom, you complain a lot. What are you talking about? And then she goes, well, did you just hear your conversation with me? And really, I knew she was right. I almost felt like I had this default. You know what the default button is? It just automatically goes there. All right? So I said, Cass, help me with this. And boy, do they help you. Tell you what, Mom, you're doing it again. Mom, okay. All right, see, I was complaining there. All righty. So I said, hey, help me. But I really figured out I had to dig into the Word. I had to start digging into the Word and find out how to do this better. I had to start figuring out how to do this better. So if you're taking notes, because you're all smarter than a fifth grader, All right? If you're taking notes, write this down. This is what I learned that will help you not complain. And listen, guys, I am not perfect. Okay? There are days I just do this. I can see this complaining coming down the road, and I'll do what I'm going to tell you. There's other days I get two sentences into it, and I go, oops, I'm complaining. I'll even say that. Some of you have heard me. I'll have a conversation where I go, oops, I'm complaining, and I'll back up. So I'm not perfect at this, but I want to tell you this is actually your spiritual exercise, okay? And this is it. Give thanks always. That's your spiritual exercise. It's simple, okay? Now, how many of you know exercises that are simple are awesome, but you got to do them? It's like all that gym equipment I have, okay? Awesome, going to do great and mighty things, but you got to do them. Okay, so your spiritual exercise is give thanks always. Give thanks always, okay? So as simple as that is, it was really difficult for me in the beginning. I was missing it. So today I want to go over three things that I saw that is still helping me let good things out of my mouth instead of grumbling and complaining. All right. So number one. So first, our big title is thanking God always. Give thanks always. Okay, that's the big thing. But underneath this is the perspective. These are the binoculars you have to look through. Okay, this is how you have to see this. Number one, God is always working on your behalf. Okay, you have to see that. You just got to put that in your brain and see that. Okay, so when you can't see God, God sees you. And I want to tell you, when I finally could see that God is always working, God's behind the scenes, it just brought peace in my life. Just brought peace in my life. It didn't matter what was coming against me. It didn't matter what somebody was saying against me. My God was working for me. My God was working on my behalf. Write that down. God is always working on your behalf. Turn over to Romans 8. Cool scripture. Romans 8, verse 28. Didn't matter what was going wrong in my life. I just would say, I would see this. My God is working for me. My God is working for me. All right? Romans 8, 28. And we know, I think Pastor Sherry said this, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Okay, you know that part? It says, for those who love him, who are called according to the purpose. That is a big, long sentence to simply mean, I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. That's who it's talking to. It's talking about Christians here, okay? All right? So if you're a Christian, here's what's happening. In all things. Now think about some of the trouble you've had. Think about the trouble you're having today. Anybody got some trouble before you even made it to church, okay? So you got some trouble going on. He's saying God works for the good. God works for the good. Good. Okay, so what that means is my God is working good for me. My God is working good for me, okay? And he will bring me through. He will restore me. Now, sometimes this whole thing blows up, but he says he's working for me. He's gonna bring me through it. And I don't know how, but I just go to bed saying, God is working on my behalf. I can't see him, but I know my God is working on my behalf. My God has got this, and he's going to get me out of this, get me through this, and restore me. Praise God. Now, you may have lost relationships. People have died on you, left on you. Maybe it's the financial thing. It's gone. All right? Okay? And God is saying, I will always restore you. I will always restore you, okay? And you know that lemons to lemonade? God will take every sour situation that you have, and he'll put some sugar in it, and he'll make lemonade, okay? But you will tie his hands if you're complaining. So I want lemonade. I want great things in my life. Amen? Okay. So listen, once I understood that, it didn't matter what anybody was doing to my life, what they were saying in my life. It actually took fear out of my life. It would take fear out of me, because a lot of times when you start complaining, it's because you're in fear of what the situation is. Okay. And think about that. Write that one down. Think on that one. Okay. So number one, thank God always with the perspective that God is always working behind the scenes. He's working on your behalf. Number two, thank God always that the problems are an opportunity for growth. The problems are an opportunity for you to grow. The problem, the trouble, the mess is an opportunity for you to grow. Turn over to James chapter 1. Most of you could probably do cartwheels and say this, but look at it. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, we're going to read. Okay. James chapter 1. It starts off with saying, "Dear brothers and sisters," guess who he's writing to? The church folk. Y'all church folk today? Y'all believers? Y'all accepted Jesus? So he's talking to you. All right? Now you have to read this like it's for me. So he's going, so I read this, instead of "dear brothers and sisters," it says, "D, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." So he's saying, hey, D, when troubles come in your life, D, this is an opportunity for great joy. I used to pick a fight with him about that, okay, until I started digging in it, okay? Now, I'm going, well, how in the world do you do that? How in the world do you have great joy when you're going through some troubles, situations, stuff, all right? Well, you have to read verses 3 and 4. You ready? "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow," all right? "For when your endurance is fully developed," or grows, okay, can I stick that word in there? "So when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing." Man, there's about 5 sermons in that scripture, but let's talk about the word endurance. See that word endurance? It's referring to while you're running your race. You're a Christian, the life that you have, it's talking about you running the race, and you bump into some troubles, problems, okay? And during those tough times, you are not going to complain, right? You are not grumbling. You are not testing God. But this is what you're going to do. "I'm going to give thanks always. I'm going to give thanks always to God," okay? So he says, when you do that and you build yourself up to that level, you know you're at that level when you're thanking God always. Thanking God always instead of complaining, he says he's going to start doing something on the inside of you. He's going to cause you to grow on the inside. Okay? On the inside. Praise God. So, verse 4, read that again. You come out perfect and complete, needing nothing. That's what's going on in the inside. You walk through that complete. This is how you know you grow. Complete, needing nothing. Okay, simply it means you have just grown up. You have grown up spiritually instead of meh, 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 okay? Now, how many of you like those mountaintop experiences with God? Man, the kids are behaving. There's money in the bank account. Life is wonderful. Don't you wish that happened all the time? I wish I could just stay up there and happen. But you know, for every mountaintop, guess what's down here? The valley, all right? The valley. Okay. Now, I don't like valleys. Anybody like those valleys? No, no. But listen, they happen. The valleys happen. Okay. Because we live in a cursed earth. We have imperfect people. Christians can be imperfect. Got news, I'm imperfect and so are you. Okay. So you can get down in the valley. You can just find yourself down in the valley, right? Okay. But, guess what the amazing thing that happens down here? You learn to grow spiritually. Listen, sailing on the top of the mountain, you're just sailing on top of the mountain. Okay, but when you get down in these valleys where you've got troubles happening, that is your opportunity to learn and grow. All right? So, you know, barbells, they're called resistance. Guess what? If you just start using them, you're going to grow some muscles, right? I've got piles of them. If you just look at them, they're not going to put muscles on you, right? Resistance grows you spiritually. So when you're in the valley, guess what? If you keep this shut and you start doing this, you're going to grow. You're going to grow, okay? So, but let me say this. God doesn't bring you troubles. God doesn't bring problems. He's a good God always, all right? But so the enemy does that, right? The enemy does that, the cursed earth. Sometimes people do that to your life. But if you allow those times in there to walk with God, see him with you, keep your mouth from complaining and start thanking him, you will grow. You will grow. So look at your neighbor and say, grow up. Okay? All right. So God is always working on our behalf. Problems are opportunities for growth. Okay? Problems. And listen, when you're in the middle of this, this is the time you start trusting him. You know, I used to say, so put your money where your mouth is. You're going to have to trust him that he is with you and he's going to walk you through this and you're going to grow. All right, number three, last one, if you're taking notes because you're all far, smarter than a fifth grader, write this down. Thanking God always, this is what we do. Give thanks to God for what we have. Give thanks to God for what we have and what he's done. What he's done. Okay. Whenever you and I are going through tough times, you know, and believe me, I think I could write a mini book and start a series on tough times, okay? But whenever you and I are going through tough times, I'm pretty sure you can look around and find something good in your life. The dog didn't pee in the house. Praise God. All right? The kids may have done this, this, and this, all right? Now, I'm making a joke out of it, but there are days you have to look around your life, and there's good things in your life. There's always good things in your life. There are good things in your life, okay? Good things in your life. Praise God. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians, all right? Of you have got at least five good things going on in your life? Amen. Now, how many of you got about five yuck going on in your life? But listen, you got five of these, right? Focus on the good things that are going on in your life. Shut your mouth. Don't complain. Now, let me tell you, I'm still working at it. Okay. I'll say that. Shut your mouth, Pastor D. Don't say that. Stop complaining, all right? Are you over at 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5. Verse 18. Okay. We're talking about focus on what you do have. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances. We're not thankful for the problem, but I am thankful in the middle of it. I mean, I'm not going, yippee, yippee, yippee. Everything blew up, but I'm in the middle of this. I am going to thank God because he's working on my behalf, right? Okay, so be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Underline God's will. This is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. So if you're a Christian, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord of your life, you're a Christian, God's will for you is to give thanks. People go, oh, Pastor D, I don't know what God's will is in my life. Today, you do. Walk around giving thanks. That's God's will for your life, right? Right? But now, God's will, you have to learn how to do this, right? You have to learn how to do this. No matter what's going on in your life, okay, you can always find something that you can give thanks for. All right? Okay, someone told me this years ago, and I do it all the time. People are complaining. We've had so many days of rain. And you know what? I started saying, yay, I got a free car wash. I just start, you know, so I did. I was like, no, thank God, my car looks clean. I didn't pay for it. Oh, Pastor D, you're so silly. You should have seen my car before the rain, okay? Okay? So listen, So there might be a couple of you here would say, Pastor D, you do not know what's going on in my life. There is not one thing in my life that I can give thanks for. Well, that's what you think, but let me tell you what God says. Number two, we thank God for what he's done for us. We thank God for what he's done for us. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Okay? The directions on that is the word rejoice. So that little word is called joy. Anybody know that little word joy? Joy is something, if you have received Jesus into your life, you have received joy into your life. They're called the gifts of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, blah, 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 blah. Guess what? You have joy in you. The rejoice is what you do with it. So don't tell me, I don't have anything to be joyful. You got joy in you. Jesus has done stuff for you. You just have to decide to be thankful and to rejoice, all right? Okay, rejoice in the Lord, it says in Philippians 4:4. Again, that's what Jesus has done for you. How many of you are glad that he saved you? That's what he's done for you. How many of you are glad that you're going to heaven someday? And I don't pay taxes. Hallelujah. Right? How many of you are glad that you receive the free gift of eternal life? That he has made you holy. He did it. Believe me, I couldn't do it. All right? He made you holy. And listen, this is what else he's done for you. Jesus, because of what he did, I have free access, free, I love free, access into the presence of God. Listen, there was nothing you could do it. There's nothing, I love doing it. I love just trying to fix things, but this, Jesus did it for me, all right? So, listen, the list will go on and on. Just close your eyes right now. What else has Jesus done for you? It's like who you are because of him. Just come on, think of a couple things. One, I am forgiven. Hallelujah. Right? I'm forgiven. Praise the Lord. All right. Open your eyes. Don't fall asleep. Okay. So listen, personally in my life, I had to learn and work it, giving thanks. I had to learn and work it, giving thanks to God always, okay? Instead of being this negative, complaining person, the thing that happens, that instead of doing that, I just go, well, God, I just thank you. I thank you. You're going to move on my behalf. I can't figure it out, but nope. Thank you, God. You're going to move, all right? I thank you that I have good things that are coming my way because, God, you're going to move in this mess right now, all right? So this is what happens. When you stop complaining and you start thanking God, you untie God's hands because he does not hang out with negativity. He doesn't. All right? So you untie his hands and then you start to grow. You will grow up, right? You will grow spiritually through thanking God, all right? And then God starts working on the inside of you. He starts working in you, through you, and in your life. That's wonderful. Amen? Amen. All right, I'm going to close. Turn over to 2 Chronicles. I'm going to close with one more story, all right? How many of you love these Old Testament stories? I'm like, they try making movies out of them. They're nothing compared to the real deal. All right, it's pretty cool though. You know, what's the new one? I didn't get to see the new one, The Splitting of the Sea. Who's that guy? Used to be Charlton Heston, the Moses movie. Oh, Ben-Hur. Okay, sorry. You know, I didn't see, that was good? That was a good one? Okay, it's on my list. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Cool story, all right? This is the background. Israel is actually divided into two nations right now. Okay, so it's Israel and Judah. They're the children of Israel, but they're kind of divided up to Judah and Israel. Okay, now, Judah has a king. His name is King Jehoshaphat. Anybody ever hear of that name? Don't name your kid that, please. Parents, sometimes. You are not helping your kid, all right? All right, so, but this is King Jehoshaphat, and actually, guys, he was an incredible godly king. King Jehoshaphat was an incredible godly king, all right? But he comes into some problems. A problem comes into his life, a big problem. You know what the big problem is? He's got three nations that decide they're going to go to war with him all on the same day. They're all ganging up on him. That's a big problem. And he goes to God. That's what we should all do first, not last. You go to God first. Okay, you go to God. And he says, hey, God, this is what's going on. These are three nations, and they're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They're more than us. And God, if I could fix it. That's always me. God, if I could fix it, I'd be doing it. Okay, God, I can't. We need your help. So that's his prayer. It's like, what should we do? So God tells him what to do, all right? And he gives them these incredible instructions. They're all about thanking and praising God. Thanking God and thanking God. Those are the pretty crazy instructions. Just go around thanking God. All right. You over at 2 Chronicles 20? Excuse me. 2 Chronicles 20. Here we go. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord. Underline that word, sing. Man. Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord, for his love endures forever. Ooh. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Okay? So, God's instructed Jehoshaphat to get these singers to sing praises and then to say, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Okay? Now, think about it. The worship team goes out before the army men. My worship team's usually over there, okay? The worship teams go out in front of the soldiers. Soldiers, stick your sword in whatever they call that thing, sheath, right? Just leave it in there, all right? And we're going to put the worship team out first. Okay, you talk about trusting God. You should be laughing. You should be laughing. Okay, they could have been slaughtered. The worship team goes down first, right? Think about it. They're going against three armies, more than them, bigger than them, stronger than them, and they send the worship team out. And they listen to Vanessa going, oh man, okay, all right. Listen. Okay, and God wants them to sing songs of praises and to say, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. And I'm pretty sure, this is my own Cashman version, that after the worship team is doing this, I'm pretty sure everybody just trickles back, right? Because you know they all participate with you every Sunday, right? Okay, listen, but what God wants you to see, that when you're in every tough situation, it's time not to complain. It's time not to test God. It's time to thank him that he's moving on your behalf, okay, that he's going to cause you to grow. Thank him for what he has done, what, the good things in your life and what he's done. Okay, let's keep reading verse 22. As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Sarai who were invading Judah. And they were defeated. They were defeated, guys. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir and destroyed and annihilated them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. It was crazy out there. They're killing one another. Like crazy, okay? Verse 24. When the men of Judah finally came to the place, right? Came to the place that overlooked the desert and looked toward the vast army. They saw only dead men lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Try making a movie out of that. That's crazy. That's crazy, guys. Oh my gosh. So, listen, God's saying, hey, untie my hands. loose them. I want to do something on your behalf. Okay? And he did. How do we do that? Give thanks to God always. Thank you, God, for the good things I have in my life. Thank you, God, that for what Jesus has done in my life. Thank you, God, that I know, even if I can't see it, even though it looks like all hell has broke loose in my family, God, you are moving on my behalf because I am one of your children. I'm one of your favorites. And that's what I see. That's what I'm going to, therefore, I'm going to just thank you. Amen? Okay. We're going to pray. They're going to pop a CD on real low. I want you to listen to the words, not so much mine. And you know I'm not singing. All right. I would have asked you guys to do this, but I was scrambling this morning. I thought of it. Okay. Vanessa's like, how come you ask me to do this? Okay. Okay. Song 5. Praise the Lord.
I abandon every distraction. My attention is set on you.
I can see God moving on my behalf. That's my perspective.
My devotion, Jesus, my portion. My affection is set on you.
Not the problem. Get your eyes off the problem.
I was made to worship.
I'm going to sing to him. I'm going to thank him. He's bigger than my problem. He destroyed all those bad guys. Surely he can take care of my life.
I was made to worship.
I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm just going to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. You. And guys, you were made to worship him. How about you do that in the middle of your situations? There's peace in the presence of God. Why would you not worship him? All peace blew up all over the house. Why don't you lift your voices? Why don't you stand up, guys? Come on. You might just do this today in faith, but I'm telling you, you serve the Most High God. He loves to get involved in your life. Why not praise him? But we're not going to complain. We're just going to sing praises. God, I thank you that my children will serve you. Father, I thank you that you have caused me to prosper in every area of my life. Thank you, Father, that my body's made whole by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Whatever was stolen, I thank you that you restore. And the thief has to return sevenfold. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, I praise you and give you thanks. I just want to thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that I am growing. I am not that person yesterday. I have grown stronger in you because my hope, my trust, and my mouth lines up with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Father, we just love to give you thanks. You're almighty. Who else and where else will we go? Who else has my front or my back? Who else has deposited favor in my life? Who else has called me to a high place? Who else says, I make you complete? There's no one else but you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your empowering us. In Jesus' name, praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God. I'm pretty sure I don't have to pray for anybody today. I think you got it. Okay, guys, you know all that exercise equipment in my house? Got to use it, all right? It's real simple. It's real simple just to get into a thankfulness, amen? So, Father, I thank you for your people. These are your precious ones, Father. I thank you that today, Father, just a simple exercise can bring great freedom in our life. We thank you. Continue, Holy Spirit, to bring this to our remembrance as we go out. And we will encounter stuff. But, Father, we have hope and trust and the answer in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, sit down. Everybody, just close your eyes. Be still for a minute. If you're here today and you have never made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, you've given him half your life and he says, I want all. I surrender all. If you've never prayed and said, Lord Jesus, I surrender all. If you can't remember that time in your life that you surrendered your life to him and said, Jesus, I'm a mess. I've tried it. It's not working. And I surrender all. And I would like to receive you and your blessings and life new. Today's the day. If you're here and you say, Pastor D, I'm game. I'm through the game and I want this. I want this in my life. If you raise your hand, I'll pray for you. Listen, I am not asking you to join our church. I am not asking you to make a commitment to me and give me your PIN number. I'm asking you, would you surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be Lord and Savior of your life? Today is a great day. Today, Father. So if there's anybody here, you just raise your hand and say, Pastor D, that's me. That's me. That's me. Okay? All right? Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, nobody raised their hand. So, church, are you excited? Yeah. Did you go praising him? All right. Praise the Lord. Hey, have a super day. Continue to give thanks.